The Fifth Element from The Fifth Element. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Go Watch a Movie. I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
This is episode 27 of Go Watch a Movie, and it's been ghost-tastic. We watched three Ghost in the Shell movies. Ghost in the Shell, 1995, and Ghost in the Shell Innocence, 2004, mm-hmm. and Ghost in the Shell, the movie, 2017, I'm sure. But before we get into that, I wanted to discuss something. First of all, I will reiterate, we are a movie discussion podcast. We have a conversation, we discuss movies to the fullest, and we give our humble opinion. And our humble opinions, and I hope Robert agrees with me here, in no way, shape, or form are to discredit any directors, writers, visual effect artists, or anything like that. I respect them to the fullest. Hell, I wish I was doing their job most of the time. Just no disrespect is meant by our opinions. We're just two dudes having a conversation and, you know, giving our point of view, how we take the movie.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Now back to the fun and pleasure, and we'll go to some entertainment news last week. First off, it's directors. Directors getting projects. Jordan Peele, who recently had success with Get Out, lots of success. He has been tapped to direct Akira.
Really?
Yes. I don't know how they made that correlation from Get Out.
I didn't know.
But I figured that was on the same vein of today's anime, you know? Mm-hmm. That's another classic anime. It would be interesting. I mean, I don't think he would write it as well, but,
yeah.
You know, it'd be a cool take, and I would like to see that come to life. But later, in more news, we have Joss Whedon from Marvel fame. He directed a lot of Marvel movies, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Big name. Well, he's jumping ship. He's been tagged to direct Batgirl. He's gone over to DC. Batgirl movie. I don't know how this is going to fit into their current DC universe because he's kind of lighthearted. You know, he can do dark, but most of what we've seen from him is lighthearted, and I don't know if he'll fit that DC thing. And that could be why they're bringing him on board, I guess, to lighten things up a bit, maybe.
Makes sense.
And last but not least, and sad news, because this pertains to our feature today. Ghost in the Shell tanked bad. Mm-hmm. Like, 20 million domestic this last weekend on a budget of 110 million. They didn't get anywhere near half. But we'll get to that later. I think they did more overseas, I'm not 100% sure, but still.
When it's all said and done, they'll probably break even.
Yeah, which is not good. We won't be seeing a sequel. No. So let's get to Ghost in the Shell, the original, 1995. Watchbot, if you would please, sir.
I am in love with Scarlett Johansson. Just the thought of her MMMMMMOOOOHHH.
It did not work out at all. So, look at the gist there, buddy. I appreciate you telling me that. But Ghost in the Shell, the original, if you wouldn't mind, watch what?
Ghost in the Shell, known in Japan as Mobile Armored Riot Police, Ghost in the Shell. Ghost in the Shell is a 1995 British-Japanese science fiction and anime film based on manga of the same name by Masamune Shirow. The film was written by Kazunori Ito and directed by Mamoru Oshii and stars the voices of Atsuko Tanaka, Akio Otsuka, and Iyamasa Kayumi. Ghost in the Shell was a Japanese and British international co-production that was produced by Kodansha in association with Bandai Visual and Manga Entertainment, with Production IG serving as the animation studio. The film's plot follows the hunt by the Public Security Agency, Section 9, for a mysterious hacker known as the Puppet Master. With the assistance of her team, Motoko Kusanagi tracks and finds their suspect, only to be drawn into a complex sequence of political intrigue and a cover-up as to the identity and goals of the puppet master. The overarching philosophical themes of the film include self-identity in a technologically advanced world.
Thank you, Watchbot. So this is the original one that spawned them all. Well, the manga spawned them all, but this one is the cinematic original one. And I'm going to go ahead and say my favorite. Your thoughts, sir?
I completely agree. That's my favorite as well.
Yeah. This one for me was had the best plot, best story. Mm-hmm. And it was being introduced to this BA character. Now, something I noticed, I don't know if we should save this for the last one, but... like, she kind of knows herself a lot more in this one compared to... I'm not sure what they were going for in the... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they completely flipped the...
Yeah, like, she's well aware of what she is and who she is. And she, you know, she knows she's a property of the government, but she also knows, hey, I'm my own person. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, this one for me, it... like I said, I love the puppet master, had more of a purpose. He wasn't just, you know... infecting things to infect things to get, you know, he did it to get to her because he knew she was something special. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just like this one overall. What about you?
Yeah, this was definitely the best one. If you're going to watch any of them, I would watch this one. They do pay homage to it. Shouldn't get into it now, but they do pay homage to it in a live action film. Mm-hmm. But this one does everything. If as far as Ghost in the Shell goes, it does everything right. Like, so far that I've seen, I haven't seen everything Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, same here.
But this one is definitely way higher than the other ones on my likability scale.
Yeah, and even for the time, I'm not sure if I appreciated it when I originally saw it as a kid, but...
Yeah, when I first saw it, I didn't get it at all. I was like, what the... Okay, I wanted more. I just wanted action and whatever. I didn't get it, but... You know, as I got older and then watched it again, I was like, wow, this is actually really, you know.
Yeah, it's deeply
done. It's really, you know.
She's basically, she's not trying to find herself as much as they push off in the movie. But this one, like, she still has that search of, am I more than just this shell that's owned by the government?
Mm-hmm.
I like Botaka, her partner. Batu, thank you. I like him a lot.
Yeah, he's really...
Especially in this one. This one, I think he shined. And what do you think about... Well, I guess she has technically two partners, because... Well, the guy's a rookie.
There's like a whole team.
Tsuga is a rookie, I believe. The guy with the six-shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the original 1995
version. Full-on human.
Yeah. And is he... I don't remember if he says he's against cybernetics in the original anime.
I think he just liked not being, you know, having anything added on to it.
Yeah.
What they said in the anime.
And he has a gun that doesn't fail, and he is just your good old American. Well, not American, but good old.
That's probably the reason why she recruited him or wanted him in the team. Because he wasn't, you know, he didn't have anything else going on except for that. He was just pure.
Mm-hmm. And we don't get to see the head of Sector 9 much.
No.
But
not like they do a better job of him in the live action.
Yeah.
But
but yeah, so the puppet master as a villain, like, what do you think of him?
Was he really a villain?
You know what? Honestly, you're right. I don't think he was. Because he...
Looks he was and he wasn't. It's kind of that weird anti-hero type character. Like, he wasn't really... I guess he was doing... evil stuff, but he was, I mean, his goal was basically to create a new life, so
to like continue evolution on the path that was already set, just cause it himself. So, I like I said, I love that idea, like that intricate plot to where it's not just some, you know, but yeah, and then the end scene of this one, very reminiscent of live action, which we'll get to, but in this one. She is trying to get into that big scorpion tank and doesn't open the hatch in the anime version. Like, she tries to rip it open and rips off her limbs seemingly for nothing, but I guess it was to set up that whole much more brutal scene. Because he tries to protect her. Her partner tries to protect her by putting his arm in the way of, and gets his arm blasted off. Yeah, just brilliance. I liked it a lot. Send out stuff for you in this one?
Probably just the whole ending. The fact that they're these two basically minds that come together and become like a new thing. That was like what the whole the point of it was.
Yep.
And I was, like I said, when I first watched it, it was kind of over my head. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on. But to think about it, when you actually get down to it, it's like, you know, creating back using like an egg and a sperm, but you're using two brains, you know? It's like, you're evolving into something new, but it's like you're already smart when you come out of it. Like, you're already intelligent when you come out of it. So that's like the next step of evolution would be like, so that blew me away, that idea. So that's what I really thought was take away from this.
And it's even further, like, thrown out, like, because they're in a setting world where technology rules the roost. So it's only the next logical step. Like, it's just, to backtrack a little bit, I love the opening of this original anime. Like, it has that angelic music, which we hear again in the second one, but and it's her being created, and it's the roof drop. It's all perfect. Now, the original here had some nipples, some nudity. Were you shocked that there wasn't any of that in the current retelling?
No, I didn't think there was in live action version. No, I didn't think they were going to do that. Not at all.
Yeah, I was like, because she has like she does have like a skin tight suit that looks like skin, and then she for a certain scene she's jumping around naked, which. I'm probably younger than me. That's why I watched it, I would imagine. But, yeah. And then the fight scene in the water, we have to mention in this one, because it was fantastic seeing it animated, where she chased the guy down who was wearing the suit and ended up in the pond. Great scene that animated. It was a fantastic fight scene. One of the biggest action scenes in that particular film, which... watching it again didn't matter because, like, I was so entrenched in that story. But yeah, it's this one. I would say 100% go watch.
This one isn't about the action and the explosions and all that kind of stuff, or the nibbles for that matter. this is more about this really in-depth story that really draws you in and then kind of, I'm not sure, freaks you out, but expands your mind a little bit at the end. And you're kind of like, wow, that's pretty sweet. It's a good idea for sci-fi. Anything.
Ghost in the Shell. And the ghost, to be clear, is a human soul, right? But yes, Ghost in the Shell, 1995, classic. I want to say cult, but it's bigger than a cult following. It has to be, right?
Yeah, it's got a big following.
Like the anime worldwide, you see that image of the cover of that VHS, DVD, whatever you might have it on, people know what it is. So... but yeah, Ghost in the Shell, 1995 edition. I recommend it. Go watch that. I think we'll move on to the second before we get into the normal midway breaks. Ghost in the Shell, 2004, Watchbot. If you would not mind, sir, take her away.
Ghost in the Shell 2, Innocence, known in Japan as Mobile Armored Riot Police Innocence Kokaku Kidotai, is a 2004 anime/computer animated science fiction sequel to the 1995 film Ghost in the Shell. Released in Japan on March 6, 2004, and in the US on September 17, 2004, Innocence had a production budget of approximately $20 million, approximately 2 billion yen. Dio raised the sum. Production IG Studios president, Miyuhisa Ishikawa, asked Studio Ghibli's president, Toshio Suzuki, to co-produce.
Interesting. I'm a big fan of the...
Love me some Ghibli.
Yeah. And that's why I have Watchbot pronounce things, because he said some words in there that I would have got wrong for sure. Ghost in the Shell 2, Innocence, 2004. 9 years later, your thoughts on this one, sir?
I appreciate that it gives you a little information on what happens to the major after the first one, which is kind of wide open. Yeah. And... the animation quality is it's pretty insanely good. There's some amazing visuals in it. The story was somewhat hard to follow for me. I didn't have it figured out, that's to say the least.
Yeah.
But outside of that, the ending, I did really, really like it. And surprisingly, this is probably, out of the ones that I've seen, the three that I've seen, this was my second favorite of the bunch.
There you go. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Like, it was a tough story, and it was PG-13. Like, that was, yeah. But, yeah, it's a tough story to follow. I got it, but worked it out by the end. But I got to tell you, I was a little sad. I missed the major.
Mm-hmm. She's here.
Yeah. But yeah, this is mostly Tusagi and
Batu. I like the fact that they concentrate on Batu, yeah. Actually.
Because this is, like you said, the major's absence. Mm-hmm. And that they had a very, very strong bond, you see, in the 1995 version. And so, yeah, he would be upset. And, you know, and once again, we see, like you said, visually stunning. Like some of the CG, I was a little like, we don't need that. But
the opening scene, well, not the opening, but the opening scene with they were like creating the doll. Mm. I thought that didn't even come close to comparing to original animation.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything while we were watching it. I was like, this is nothing like the original. Yeah. That was so perfectly done. Mm-hmm. This one, I think they were just trying to use the CGI, the computer animated stuff, to try to show they were doing the same thing as they did with the animated, but it just didn't compare.
No. Yeah, well, I agree 100% that, yeah. But some scenes, it did work. Like mm-hmm. that whole the wedding. I don't know if that was a wedding or what kind of celebration that. Some kind of celebration they were having.
The scenes that I found the most striking were the reflections. Like there was a scene where there was a toaster, mm-hmm. and his reflection was in the toaster, and then there was a scene where there was a car. There was a lot of reflections going on in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Those were really, really nicely done.
Did you find it odd they like are in this super technological world but drive these classical?
I thought that was a nice touch, but I didn't really understand it. But I was like, because they didn't in the last one,
like 1960s, 70s hot rods and stuff like that.
Interesting cars.
But this team is Section 9 is functioning. We realize without Ghost, or I'm sorry, Major, and she's still a presence. But not a super presence. One scene I particularly enjoyed was when in the convenience store when he got hacked. Batu got hacked. That was just an awesome scene because you know you don't know if all these people are robots or what. But he just still tries to go himself and take everyone out in the room.
Yeah, I had no idea what was happening in that scene until they explained it to you. I was like, what just happened?
Yeah. Yeah, you have bullet holes just appearing in him and gunshots everywhere. And yeah, it was pretty awesome. I was wondering if they were going to reintroduce like that invisible tech, but they never did.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really recycle a lot in this. Like, they wanted to make it as original as the first, which I liked.
Yeah.
But I found my only thing was like a main villain's kind of non-existent. Like, it's more about internal battles, this mm-hmm. one is.
Yeah.
I mean, there is one, but, you know, it's kind of a mystery with them all trying to find themselves, which is fine, because, it, like you said, it worked out very, very nicely. And, I'll go ahead and say this probably is my second favorite, and that's not taking anything from ScarJo. We'll get to her, but... Mm-hmm. any standout scenes for you in this one?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing where they were trapped in a...
The maze? The mind maze?
Cyber mind maze thing. Yeah. That was pretty cool. First, like, once again, I didn't know what was going on. And then they become like a Groundhog's Day type deal. Mm. And they start to do it again. I'm thinking, did the thing just skip or something? Are we rewatching something we just watched? But then it was just a little bit different. And then you start to make sense of it. And that was pretty cool. I liked that a lot.
I think it's got increasingly worse in each mm-hmm. one. And, yeah. That was very cool.
And I did like the shift when the dolls were attacking. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So these sex dolls, I guess we found out.
I guess, yeah.
They're geishas. There's always been a battle on what geishas actually do. But yeah.
I don't think it's about sex with geisha, but...
So, See, there we go. Battle continues. Anyway, the conversationists that are geishas.
They're entertainers.
Yes. They are... Some organization has turned them into sex dolls. Not actual geishas, but robots. And they are putting ghosts in them, aka souls. And the big mystery is how this happens. And these geishas, at one point...
Which is weird that the souls that they're picking to put in them
are kids.
Yeah, that's kind of odd. Yeah, and that's what makes them so popular. Probably they say at the end that's why they're
because the doctor who makes an appearance in a live action movie, she was describing how adults are programmed just like robots, but kids are still in that stage where they're chaotic. So I guess that correlates.
Just weird. I don't know.
Weird. But yeah, that was a little weird. They're putting kids' souls into these sex dolls.
Thanks for pushing the boundaries.
In the PG-13 has come a long way. But yeah, that was weird. But the fight scene happens. All these dolls come to life and are just. I love the first one. Like he meets her one in the alley and. It just tries to kill itself by shooting all its intestines and stuff out and does the whole face open thing that if you've seen the current movie, you'll recognize. But yeah, that's some... Now I'm just thinking of kids' souls and
I don't get it.
Robots.
I did find the dialogue. Like I said, it was kind of hard to follow the story. It was also kind of hard to follow some of the dialogue.
Yes.
Because it was like, I don't know if it was like, oh, like he's weird. Metaphors and
they kept quoting Bible verses, Confucius verses, and
like everything was either a quote or some like physiological, like psychological thing. Like I don't know, it was just kind of weird. Mm-hmm.
And I found it funny that like in the midst of that fight scene, the major throws out a quote, and he's like, "This is no time to get philosophical." It's like, "That's what you've been doing this whole movie. Right. What are you doing?" Oh, but yeah, it was good. It's good stuff. Other than the what. Now I'm stuck in my head. Kids' souls and sex dolls. But, Ghost in the Shell 2 Innocence. Do you recommend this one as a go watch?
I do. You just said Innocence. Now I don't understand why it's called Innocence.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
I do recommend it. I do recommend the first one and the second one.
I would say a binging of both of them, like one right after the other, would help big time, especially if you haven't seen the first one in a long time or never seen the first one at all. I would recommend putting your thinking cap and don't get distracted for the second one. Because, it's a deep story. They're very well written. I'd recommend it to episode 2. And that will bring us to Potter and Family promos.
This week on Master Debaters. London happens to be full of f***ts.
Really?
This isn't, I think she's well known, isn't he?
Yeah. First thing that annoyed me was I went to buy a brownie. Gluten free or vegan?
Full fat sugar one, please.
Yeah.
I'll have chicken in mine, please.
We only have vegan or gluten free.
Sorry?
I just went, no, thank you.
Oh,
walked off.
Leave my chocolate alone, you vegan.
I've taken the full
Give
sugar.
Me the full fat, please.
I want diabetes, thank you. It's my body, my choice, thank you.
So many hipsters everywhere. One girl actually walked past on the phone to somebody and went,
oh, I'm just in the vinyl store with Benji. Benji's a name. Don't call anybody Die Benji. Today. That's a dog's name.
I'm here, Benji.
But they've ruined hats. I love a good hat. And I want to wear hats.
Okay.
I cannot wear like any other type of hat than what I'm wearing now, baseball cap.
Because people are going, look at that hipster.
Braces on the back of your jeans instead of old shorts.
Letting them dangle.
That's still nice. I had a pair of jeans and then they started wearing them.
Ruined them.
Wear them anymore because
I was a
hipster.
But yeah, they've got together and they've ruined things because they're all heads.
Hipsters are.
This is going to be someone's first time they've listened. You'll hear us doing that. This voice, quite a lot.
Yes.
This is our Patrick Stewart voice. we've fallen in love with it a little bit.
The only animal at the zoo yesterday was a dog. It was a shih tzu.
Bison is a bad guy.
I love f***ing beat that. I f***ing hate that for you.
Didn't hurt.
Next round, please.
Super Saltan.
And we're back. Now, one of my favorite segments, trailers. You want to first, sir?
I wish I could do three of them, but okay. I'm only going to do one.
Oh, you can do more than one.
Because I was like, the first one is, okay, I'll do two.
Okay.
First one is the Book of Henry. I don't know if you saw that one. That looks amazing to me. Just basically a really, really smart kid who isn't being moved ahead into like higher classes so that he can develop normally with his, you know, peers.
Mm-hmm.
And he witnesses something weird about, you know, one of I think it's a female classmate or female neighbor, and he wants to help her. I guess she's being abused by her stepdad, and he can't do it by himself, so he recruits his mom, Naomi Watts, who's I guess a little dumb in the movie, but I guess he basically makes a whole plan for
in the
her
movie.
makes a plan for her to help this girl out. It just looks like a really, really interesting movie, so I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, an original.
It's a great idea. It's going to be good. Mm-hmm. And then my second one, quickly, I don't want to get too deep into is It.
Oh, yes.
That trailer, I saw it watched it on YouTube first.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, wow. They upped it a notch from the original. They're taking it to a whole new level. It looks a lot scarier. Not to say that the guy who played It before, who I love, by the way, in the original, but this one just looks straight up creepy, and I'm super excited to see it.
As much as I don't want to wet myself, there will be an It episode, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. you're right. They upped it a notch, and yeah.
It's going to be sweet.
So you have a third, or you want to say?
I'll leave it there.
Okay. I have one, and now I feel like a sissy after after following that, but it pains me. But The Mummy.
I'm not wrong with that.
It is, because it's Tom Cruise running again. But they just released a new trailer for it, and I got to tell you, it looks extremely interesting. They're following that same old school Brendan Fraser pattern. Only it looks like they're taking themselves more seriously this time around, as serious as you can with Tom Cruise. But there's a scene. Have you seen the newest trailer for it? There's a scene where these rats are erupting from the sewers, and like he gets freaked out and starts to turn around and run. And he trips, and they're just like covering him. And they show like running over his face and everything.
No, I haven't seen this one.
And I'm like, wonder did he actually let them do that, or is that CG rats or what? But anyway,
I'm pretty sure that's CG.
It's probably it. He wouldn't risk that face. But yeah, I am. I'm actually looking forward to this Tom Cruise Mummy movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why do you think he's always running in these movies?
Family Guy. You can't catch me, Kate Fox.
That's a possibility. I thought maybe he was running from Scientology. I don't know.
Well, he can't escape that.
We should talk about them, because they'll end up on our doorstep.
Yeah. We're on a list already. but yeah, check that trailer out if you get a chance. It upped the ante for me, other than that first one where it's the whole thing was them falling out of a plane, which was cool, but that's trailers for today, guys. And before we get to that, the main events, I wanted to try something new here, because we are having a conversation. I want to make it a little bit more fluent. What are you watching, Robert, here lately? Just, you know, TV episode.
TV episode? Now, I'm actually way behind the rest of the world. I'm watching Dexter.
I
love me some Dexter.
Awesome.
I've been watching that. I've been watching Portlandia. My sister really likes Portlandia. And I really like the female lead. Not that I would ever have a chance, because she doesn't play for the same team. But
oh,
She is pretty darn hot.
Gotcha. Portlandia. What is that one about?
It is just a little comedy sketch show.
Okay. Gotcha.
But it's, I don't want to say it's super funny, and everybody went out and watched it, and like, that's not funny. It's more quirky and odd than anything.
Gotcha.
And what about you? What are you watching?
I'm behind on a lot of things myself. I am currently getting caught up on the hype train that is Rick and Morty. I don't know if you heard of this cartoon. It's the best way for to describe it for me anyway. If Doctor Who was a drunken, belligerent grandfather who, instead of going out on adventures on his own, stayed at the house and kind of like he still goes out on adventures, but it's just like more of they're forced upon him. Like, he's a super, still super genius. He builds things, an inventor, and he takes his grandson along with them, and they go through all these crazy, odd adventures across the universe, different universes, and fight these monsters. And it's a completely R-rated cartoon, foul language and all, sexual innuendos and jokes. But it's funny. It's an extremely funny show. So I've been getting caught up on that. And Walking Dead, I'm still on that train. So couple show episodes behind that. Oh, and Elementary. I'm getting caught up on that. I love my Sherlock, and this is the one with Johnny Lee Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And Lucy Liu. And I love that take on it. Like, she's, you know, that she was a surgeon and she left. She's still the same Watson home setup, but kind of a modern Americanized take on it. That's what I'm watching. Hope you guys enjoyed that little touch into our lives. I just thought I'd try that out. But that will bring us to Scarlett Johansson in skin tight costumes. I'm sorry. I mean, Ghost in the Shell 2017. Watchbot, if you would not mind, sir.
Ghost in the Shell is a 2017 American science fiction action film directed by Rupert Sanders and written by Jamie Moss, William Wheeler, and Aaron Kruger, based on the Japanese manga of the same name by Masamune Shiro. The film stars Scarlett Johansson, Takeshi Kitano, Michael Pitt, Pailu, Asbaya, Chin-Han, and Juliette Binoche. Set in the near future where the line between humans and robots is becoming blurred, the plot follows a woman who has her brain placed in a cyborg body to become the perfect soldier, and who yearns to learn of her past.
You think her name is actually pronounced Johansson?
I don't think so. Johansson.
So, we mentioned already in entertainment news last week that this movie has bombed. With that said, I'm going to give it an A for effort.
There you go.
your takes on this one, sir?
I'll say this once. They paid homage enough to the original that I didn't hate it.
Some scenes shot for shot.
Yep. There are some very similar scenes in there.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. Like, I don't hate it. I think they simplified it for current audience.
They dumbed the story down by making it, like you said, I guess, doubly dumb.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, I understand when you remake an anime or a manga, you don't want to do it exactly the same.
Exactly.
So you're gonna do a new take. And that's fine, but when you have something so brilliantly done as the first one and then you dumb it down for the remake, mm-hmm. or not remake, but the live action version, it's just I don't know. Makes you mad, I guess.
Yeah, I kind of, like, I told myself I wouldn't go into it comparing it to the anime.
Mm-hmm.
But I found myself doing that anyway because they, like I said, cherry picked some scenes and threw them in. Like, the opening is almost a shot for shot.
Without the nipples.
They put her in a suit of some sort. And then that fight scene I mentioned earlier in the water, they redo that shot for shot, which I thought was great.
It was a little bit different.
Yeah,
A couple different things, but yeah, for the most part, it was the same.
Yeah, but like I found myself, like the puppet, no, he wasn't a puppet master in this, close enough. Was it Kai's?
I don't really remember.
Something, yeah. After watching part two, I realized they picked some scenes from that too, like, and a few things they cherry picked from that as well. But yeah, this is essentially a dumbed down version of those two films. Maybe more, because there's other Ghost in the Shell movies I have not seen. But overall, I didn't hate it. I thought the action was good. I thought she did fine. Well, you know what? I have one complaint about her. Like I said, the Major always seemed natural and fine with herself. Like, she understood who she was. Scarlett Johansson played her as a robot. She was robotic with her and ununderstanding. And granted, it's only a year after she's put into the show. I don't know if that was an intentional thing or if that was her choice, but that kind of bugged me a bit after knowing where the Major came from, you know? But yeah, other than that, I thought it was a fun movie. Maybe could have gone without being called Ghost in the Shell, you think?
They took too much from Ghost in the Shell and not called Ghost in the Shell.
Did you, going back, Ghost in the Shell 2 Innocence, there was a robot in the hospital when they went to go look at the geisha's memory. Like, the first one in the orange sheet looked exactly like the bad guy in this movie.
Mm.
Like, he had the loose blonde hair. Yeah. But anyway, I thought that was something cool. Maybe they drew inspiration from that.
Possible.
But yeah, biggest gripes with this one. First off, did you enjoy it?
There were parts that I enjoyed. Overall, I was just kind of waiting for it to all come together for me in the end, and it didn't.
Gotcha.
But yeah, there's it's not a horrible movie.
Yeah.
I mean, if the original didn't exist, it would be, I guess it'd be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm doing the whole comparison thing, yeah. So it's kind of hard to not think of the original. But there wasn't. I will say one thing,
yeah.
Positive. I'm thinking of a positive thing to say. The cityscape was amazing. Yep. I love what they did with the city. Like, every time they showed the city and they panned around, there was all these giant, like, holograms of whatever. That was amazing. I really, really liked that a lot. I thought they set a really, really good background mm-hmm. for the story. I mean, the city was probably my favorite part.
Of the
movie, because it just looks so amazing. The Major's like Scarlett Johansson's performance, I didn't care for it.
Did you catch that robot, how she was playing it?
More cold? A little bit, yeah. But I just thought, I don't know. I think in the, well, see, I go, I'm comparing okay. to the original game.
It's hard not to do.
But it just, I don't know, it just didn't gel for me. Mm-hmm. I think it's because I like the original more so than I like this one. One thing I did find amusing, though, if I could point out,
mm-hmm.
that a lot of people were upset that Scarlett Johansson was playing the Major. And I find that, I didn't care one yeah. way or the other. But then it's just funny in the movie, they kind of sort of address it that she's actually an Asian
yeah.
girl.
And Scarlett Johansson tweeted that out. Like, she said, I hope you all will go see the movie and understand what happened and why this is what it is. And even in the original anime, like, some of the people look Caucasian.
Yeah, they are. I'm pretty sure they are.
And you can't tell what the Major is, really. Like, she doesn't, I don't know. I'm not going to get into race and get myself in trouble here. But,
especially in anime.
When they
originally were making fun of Westerners anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of hard to probably figure that. But another thing I found interesting was, like, she was only in that for like a year, from being like a runaway teenager to a, like, specialist at,
yeah.
what, like, basically like a cyber James Bond or something. It's like, it only took them a year. But I guess if she's like got a, well.
And they're messing with their memories and.
Yeah, partially cybernetic brain. Maybe they could just, like, the Matrix upload stuff. I guess.
I know Kung Fu.
Yeah, so. But yeah, that was kind of weird.
I enjoyed the opening assault scene
mm-hmm.
with the geishas. Oh, having them conversations. How they, you know, they grabbed the targets they wanted and kind of scared them back like little spiders. Mm-hmm. And I just like the movement of those geishas and how they plugged into the people. But
it's taken from one of the animes. I don't know if it was a series or what movie it was, but
mm-hmm.
that was pretty cool.
And then the little, like, oh, I guess all the subtle nods to the anime are everything I'm pointing out here. But mm-hmm. they even did where the fingers split and do yep. the super fast typing. I enjoyed that. Yeah, and Scarlett Johansson, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with her.
Yeah, but and let's get to the main attraction here for me of this movie, the boss of Section 9. Mm-hmm. I do not know his name, but man, they made him BA.
Yeah, this. They made him really nice. I like his little quote, Johnson, what was it, Johnson Rabbits, the Ketchup Fox?
Yeah, Johnson like Rabbits, the Ketchup Fox. Yeah, that was awesome. I don't want to spoil that just in case you guys do go see this one. But yeah, he shines. What did you think of Bato?
Yeah, I liked. I was worried that they weren't going to find somebody who was big enough mm-hmm. and who could still act to play him. And he wasn't that big, but he did.
Next
he
to
did,
her.
Yeah, he did play, I guess, a he bigger guy. Big. Yeah. He, I mean, they found somebody that fit the role pretty yeah. good. And I was worried about that. So mm-hmm. that he, I did enjoy his character.
And then they pinched the dog thing from mm-hmm. Innocence, which I thought was cool. And they even had that little dog play, you know, run up. That was the newest one.
Yep.
Yeah. And the doctor scene was almost plucked from the major wasn't there in Innocence, but the whole eye lifting thing and mm-hmm. the visors, that was. Yeah, so they paid a lot of homage.
I don't know if they ever said in the anime how he got his eyes.
They did.
But yeah. I like that they actually showed that little bit of a story, story for yeah. how he got his eyes and then why he picked him.
Yeah, he was tactical and he's married to the job. Yeah. Did you like the villain in this one? Because he was more of that stereotypical movie. I'll get this done.
He was okay. Yeah. I don't know. I did like when he caught the major and he was like, well, go ahead and kill me. And she tries to, and he kind of basically the bullets just bounce off of him. Yeah. It's just like, I don't know.
And then when Bato burst in, he just instantly whips out two submachine guns and unloads.
I liked how he walked because he was kind of like all jacked up and mm-hmm. he couldn't really move correctly, but he didn't have any problems fighting. But, yeah, I didn't think he was a great, great character. But I think, once again, I'm going back to the original. And I wanted to see something more
yeah.
along that line.
Because they unsuccessfully pay homage, I guess, to the ending of the original. Mm-hmm. Like, because they almost redo it, but then they don't. So
it was really close.
Really close.
But then it just rolls down a hill.
Like to the point to where she even tries to rip, well, she actually does in this one, rip open the back of the spider tank and mm-hmm. pull herself apart. Like, yeah.
I did like that scene because, once again, like mm-hmm. you said, it pays homage to the.
I was still waiting for Bato to burst in with that giant gun and blow mm-hmm. it. Yeah. But yeah, and then but then we don't get the payoff of that brilliance that was the first film. He wants her to come with him, but she's like, no, I have unfinished business here.
Yeah, so yeah. Then he goes off in that by himself. Yeah. And then
so everything was pointless.
Sure. And she goes back and finds out who she was and then reunites with her mom.
Yeah. It was weird. I know she lost a kid a year ago, but she's inviting strangers yeah. to their house, and she's like, you look at me like you did her. Please stay. Have tea with me, strange lady. Yeah. I'm not going to bash this movie. I liked it.
What did you think of the prostitution scene? What was going on there?
The prostitution scene?
Where she goes up to the lady. She's like, are you human? She's
oh!
Like, and then they go up.
Yeah. And the lady's wearing that mask thing.
To take all that. I don't know what that was about.
I think it was to hide her freckles because they didn't want impurities.
Mm. So she just wanted to feel her face or something.
Yeah, it was weird. And see, that's the thing. Like, they never indicate in animes that the major can't feel things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but in this one, apparently she doesn't feel a thing. And that's why she, I guess, goes to the bottom of the ocean in this one. It's because it's cold and it's whatever. But yeah, that was a weird scene. I didn't like it.
I didn't know if it fit.
It doesn't fit.
I was trying to make sense of it, but.
They were trying to make her, I don't know, I guess more in pain.
More inquisitive about what she lost or maybe who she was or I don't know.
I did.
Couldn't get it.
I didn't like when she was captured and they're like in there handcuffed to the stripper pole. Stand still. That was great. But Yes. Ghost of the Shell, sir, would you recommend it?
Can I pass?
Yeah. Fun night out with friends. Just want to relax, unwind, watch a good action flick. A decent action flick. Mm-hmm. Go do it. We're moving on to suggestions. I'm going to do one that's near and dear to my heart. This is another anime, anime that I love. It was a TV show first, but then they released a movie that I enjoyed, Cowboy Bebop the Movie. This is the crew of the Bebop and Spike. You have Jet, you have all Faye, Ayn, and Ed. All of them are back for this, and it's just a very cool story. I suggest that one.
I have yet to see any Cowboy Bebop. Oh, really? Now, will I be able to enjoy the movie if I haven't watched the series before?
I would watch the series.
I watch the series first.
Well, we can binge that whenever you want. I'm here for you, man.
Right on. Well, I'm not going to go anime, but I'm going to kind of stick with sort of kind of the theme with the Ghost in the Shell and go with Ex Machina. I don't know if you've seen that one yet.
I have not seen the live action yet.
Yeah, it's Ex Machina is pretty amazing. I don't want to say too much about it because it would kind of ruin it. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's enjoyable about it. You find out what's really going on and what happened. But if you want to play with the idea of artificial intelligence and whether or not it's real or not, then check this movie out.
Awesome. And the movie that's on TV right now kind of fits the theme. Real still. That will bring us to the big bad guy movie challenge thing. And we have a special competition for you today, ladies and gentlemen. In this corner, weighing something I don't know, we have the Joker. And in this corner, old as dirt, evil as sin, we have the Emperor. This is a knockout drag out here, sir. I love the Joker, and this was specifically Heath Ledger's Joker, if I recall. So I love that one even more. But I also truly believe Palpatine's plan was flawlessly executed. So I'm torn here, so I'm going to let you start.
Oh, goodness. I don't know how to even begin that one. I will say, if the Joker did have a plan.
Yes.
But it almost seemed like he didn't have a plan. So I think that was, he just seemed like he was crazy, but he wasn't. So if you're that crazy and you seem like you're bumbling around, kind of like drunken kung fu, you don't think that, you know, they could really do anything, but then you're like, you're blindsided because you weren't expecting the crazy to be smart. So I think if Palpatine was on the same level as the Joker, and he's probably, you know, thinking, I'm going, you know, I got this guy. And then here's the Joker, he's a drunken kung fu, and then he's blind, you know, Palpatine's blindsided.
I don't think that Palpatine could go anywhere near the right amount of nutty to figure the Joker out. So the Joker's main plan was to break people, show people how truly evil they were, right?
Which he
accomplished.
Yeah, for the most part, that's what he's done.
Oh man, this is tough. Well,
whose plan was more devious, you think? Do you think the Joker's plan of people just showing them their real selves was more devious than Palpatine's, was just to control?
Yeah, Palpatine just wanted power and control and to continue a legacy. But Joker wanted to break the quote-unquote heroes of Gotham. And not only the heroes of Gotham, but he considered the biggest hero of Gotham, Harvey Dent. And he not only broke him, but turned him into a villain. Mm. So... I think we would have saw him again, honestly, if Pat Ledger didn't do what he did. But this is a toughie, man.
This is a tough one. I'm trying to think of other things that stand out.
Okay. I'm going to jump in here because I do love both of these people. The Joker. He essentially, he had goons, he had thugs, but he accomplished this pretty much on his own. Like, he, for the most part, like, starting from the opening bank scene where we don't even realize it's him, all the way to breaking Harvey Dent, forcing Harvey Dent to be Harvey Dent, you know, like, or Two-Face, become Two-Face. He did it all by himself. Like, the thugs were just thugs to use as cannon fodder. Palpatine had to strategically use armies, Jedis, senators. Like, it was this big laid out plan over decades.
Which I think makes him more vulnerable because he has to hold on to all that stuff.
Yep.
So that makes him more vulnerable. Heath wasn't holding, or I'm sorry, the Joker wasn't holding on to anything. He was like, I mean, he even had a pile of money and burned it.
Yeah.
He's like, it doesn't have any value for him. Even when it was the chaos and the anarchy. So.
And I just love that this guy just showed up out of nowhere. You don't know who he is, what, like, we get an inkling in Batman Begins. There's a crazy man that deals out these cards. But other than that, we don't know who this guy is.
How he got his scars.
How he got his, you know, we still to this day don't know how the got his scars.
How many stories do you think he has?
He's just so iconic.
Lets himself get caught, knowing that he's going to get out.
Oh, that scene. He's just clapping. I love that scene. So many great. I'm going to go and watch The Dark Knight. It's just, yeah, but.
Do you think the Joker made a mistake at all? Even though Batman won.
Did he?
Do you think he made a mistake anywhere?
Did Batman win? Because not only did the Joker force Harvey Dent to go insane, Batman had to become full-on vigilante just to try and foil the Joker. Like, Batman had to lie. Batman had to go against everything he believed in. He became the villain that Gotham needed because of the Joker. That man broke the moral, or the Joker broke the morals of both of Gotham's most shining stars. One's a dark star, but still.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks for the help.
I mean, like I said, I love the Joker. Like, I trust me, he's here for a reason.
Well, then why wasn't he on your list?
I don't know. I don't know.
Now, did Palpatine make it? Did the Emperor make any mistakes?
I think he made quite a few. Because, like, the only reason he put so much faith in others is on the flaws I see in him. Because if he... The first big one was Anakin. Like, he put full faith that he was going to flip Anakin. But if Anakin would have been like, no, you're evil, then there goes his entire plan, you know. Then he put faith in Jar Jar Binks, which, let me get me started there. and then he could have missed things with the Jedis. They had to play exactly how he wanted. There were a lot of variables that had to work exactly how he saw them working. Otherwise, it wouldn't have worked.
And then ultimately, his choices were his downfall.
Yeah.
In the end, I mean, that's how he died.
Yeah.
Did he pick the wrong apprentice? Or?
No, because, I mean, well, yeah, technically, yes, he did. Because the Sith line could have died with Vader, but I guess Kylo doesn't call himself a Sith, but I think he's still a Sith.
I think if we just judge it on who made the most mistakes. How many mistakes did Joker make? How many mistakes did Palpatine make? Palpatine's reign may have lasted a little bit longer, but
yes.
I think...
Was Joker only in this particular world that his reign didn't last that long? He gets his play. I don't know if you were a fan of Batman Begins, but there is one to where that's where Bruce is old and he has a new Batman who he guides through technology and that whatever.
Terry McGinnis.
But Batman, the Joker, have you seen the Return of the Joker movie that they did?
Mm-hmm.
Where the Joker, he's still dead, but he left a plan to where he would come back through one of the old Robins. So it was, he basically changed his brain to be him, and he kind of came back as him. So he, you know, he's no slouch. But yeah, I want to go ahead for fun's sake, just to see where this goes. I want to say Joker. I want to go with the Joker.
I'm going Joker.
So, ladies and gentlemen, and to the dismay of millions of Star Wars fans everywhere, the Joker moves forward. The Emperor is thrown over a balcony. Or tripped on his cape, one of the two. But yes, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm sorry, just picture Darth Vader throwing the Emperor over and taking his mask off, and it's the Joker.
Yes, but awesome. The Joker moves on. And that will bring us to the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to say thank you and places you can find us. GoWatchMovie.com being the main one, where you can see some, read some fantastic reviews that Robert has wrote, listen to the podcast, watch the trailers that we spoke of on the episodes, all of that's there. GoWatchMovie.com, I just said that, but GoWatchMovie on Facebook, GoWatchMovie on Twitter, GoWatchMovie on iTunes, GoWatchMovie on Stitcher, just follow us, like us, share us, and we will love it. Go watch some Ghost in the Shell. Take it all in. That's Go Watch a Movie for today. I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Robert.
Go watch a movie.